Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the other Mark. 3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Yeah, get me a Mai Tai.
Cheers. Offer to Mother.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Mark.
Hiya,
Marky.
How are we doing?
All right, are you?
All good. All right, yeah, I'm good, thank you.
Fantastic.
Being busy?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
not doing much, no important, right? But yeah,
I'm always busy. Yeah. Took the kids down to the Big Smoke on Saturday, the London.
Big Smoke, right. I'm going to send New York then.
yeah, it was very busy. Very busy. Busiest I've seen London probably ever since I've been there. And I don't mean on telly.
Last few times I've been down, it's been quite relatively quiet, but I think it's because we've gone midweek.
Possibly. Whereas I always say I went on Saturday and it was absolutely heaving. Oh. But it was good. It was a good day. What about you, Mark?
Yeah.
Other one.
Oh. Yeah, me. The other one.
No, yeah, other one.
Yeah, I've been busy in the garden, doing the patio and getting that ready for hopefully some nice weather, because at the minute it's still miserable, isn't it?
It's a fine thing, wouldn't it?
Oh, wouldn't it? Absolutely. So,
what is it you're doing?
So, I built a big planter thing that goes all the way around the patio.
Okay.
Because Ellen wanted to plant some flowers and whatever, and put some festoon lighting up. And I'm happy with it. I thought Ellen were going to knock me block off earlier though, because she were holding stepladders while I climbed up, and obviously because I'm 100 miles an hour all the time, I swung my leg over the steps and kicked her in the face.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, do you know what?
You know when you don't look.
A, is she okay?
Yeah, she's okay.
Good.
Yeah. Luckily, I couldn't kick my way out of a wet paper bag. So, but yeah.
But she's probably used to it with you by now.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Well, Mr. Clumsy.
I'll close your eyes and you're like, there I look, there I look, and you open one eye and apologise and
You really are 100 mile an hour though.
Oh,
with true. Everything you do.
Yeah.
You know.
Listen. I always remember. It'll always stick in my head. There were a time because when my dad used to do a lot of working garden and stuff, and he always used to try to get me to help him. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Stuff like that. I always have done ever since I was a kid. But obviously. Help me dad, and Mark would come round to help, but you could always guarantee that there'd always be something would happen. He'd either break something or he'd do something. I could honestly, I've got stories galore around it, but there was this one time that always sticks in my head, that literally Mark had been around, we'd been doing stuff on back garden, and my dad, I was in kitchen and my dad needed to go out for something. And he just came in kitchen and he said, I've just got to nip out. Just keep an eye on Mark in garden. All he's doing is sweeping up. That's all he's doing. But just keep an eye on him. And I said to my dad, what's the worst thing that can happen? He's just sweeping up. He's like, I know, but you know what he's like. I heard gate go. I heard my dad go down path. I looked out at window at kitchen and Mark stood there in back garden with sweeping brush in two pieces.
What happened there then?
It literally, because like he says, I know we say it very tongue-in-cheek or whatever, but because he does everything at 100 mile an hour, he'd obviously just been too vigorous with brush or whatever and snapped it in two.
I think I'm in double figures on sweeping brushes. But I've got a wrecking bar for pulling nails out and things, like a little mini crowbar thing. And one of the prongs has snapped on that. I've snapped spades, forks, shovels, sweeping brushes.
Honestly, what's going on? It like Mr. Strong or something? What's going
on?
No,
I don't know what it is. Well, and sometimes I do things like, and I rush. Obviously, I rush. And there were once with this sweeping brush, and I didn't snap it. But I can remember Ellen looking out the window like, "What are you doing?" And you know when you get like bits of grass tufts and whatever growing in your grouting on your paving.
Mm-hmm.
And what a laborious job. Oh. So I thought, how can I speed this up a bit? So I got some flammable liquid and I thought, I'm going to burn it. So
house is burnt down, shed's gone, neighbour's house.
I sprinkled it on all the grass and everything. And anyway, so it was burning. I thought, oh, brilliant this. Anyway, so I thought, right, I can sweep the ash away now. Anyway, set brush on fire. All bristles like shriveled up. It was like it had a crew cut when I finished this. So the sweeping brush were in one piece, but all the bristles were like.
Did you not think to brush up after the fire had gone out? While the fire's still going.
I was just going too fast, wasn't I? You know. Can you remember that time when we were concreting your patio?
Absolutely. Again, at my dad's back garden.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my dad had a cement mixer. But it were old. It were old and knackered.
Sometimes
really.
It'd lock up, wouldn't it?
So it'd lock up. And if you lock up, you then have to hit it with like a sledgehammer. Or my dad did it, obviously, hit it with a sledgehammer to get it to get it going again.
In a fit of panic.
Literally, this
get the hammer.
It seized up. So my dad's going, get hammer, get hammer, get hammer.
He turned around and now we're knee deep in concrete.
Were you in it?
I was in the concrete.
Everything that we'd just laid.
It levelled it all.
It was massive and all this patio. How did you manage to get in this concrete? Did you fall over
looking for a hammer. Completely forgot that we'd literally just... What is it when you tap it with that long piece of wood?
Level it out, smooth
it out, and whatever. Yeah, and then I would plant it in the middle of it.
Honestly, even
the liability.
Now, absolutely. Even now, all these years on, if I said to my dad, "Oh, you know, Mark's doing something else," or "Mark's doing," he'll always be like, "Mark's doing that." As he took out insurance, has he not killed himself?
Don't you find that you make mistakes when you not to say that you're rushing, but. Well, you probably are. Do you find that you make mistakes?
All the time.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. I've spent my entire life mopping up mistakes.
Even when he's working normally, he's making mistakes. Not rushing or...
I mean, from a productivity point of view, I suppose, it could be quite good, wouldn't it? If I didn't have to keep going back to finish off or...
Which I do get what you mean. However, what I will say, and, you know, take this how you want, but... When you do have your mind set on something, if you say, right, I'm doing the patio or I'm doing this or I'm doing that, within a few days, it's done.
It's done.
Yeah.
It's done.
Listen, everybody needs a Mark when it comes to doing DIY or stuff because he's the go-getter.
I think there's
a lot
of people that disagree with you, Rob.
Well, listen, you also need me there as well.
Yeah.
Because I am the complete opposite to you.
You need the yin to the yang.
I am literally the planner. So if I'm going to do a DIY job, that job will be planned to the nth degree. Literally to scheduling what's happening on what days, what we'll get to by what time.
Wow, I've already finished.
And that is the difference.
Yeah.
Because you've touched on this already, Kirk. So how many of you have actually done DIY with your parents?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do it with my dad quite a lot, and oh my gosh, there needs to be a camera on the wall because honestly, I could make a YouTube channel about me and my dad doing DIY. It's absolutely hilarious. So my dad's Scottish, and all you ever hear when we're doing anything is, "Oh, come on, Rob! Oh, come on!" all the time, and I'm like, "Dad, I've just got to get this." "Oh, no one's gonna see it. Nobody will see it." And I'm like, "Dad, I'll see it. Oh, come on! They'll not see it." Like all the time.
Your dad drops C. Nesbitt.
Yeah, he wears a string vest.
String vest. Yeah.
Seriously, it's the funniest thing you've ever seen. But also, he's very good at DIY. So I do rely on his skill set. But at the same time, I'm like, "Yeah, but." We just got to get that right because if it's right, that's it. We're not only doing it once. Do you know what I mean?
The thing is, I suppose some people would argue there's a right way and a wrong way, but as long as it gets done and as long as, you know, but the problem comes exactly like you just said there, Rob, when you have two different people, ways of working, trying to do the same job.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, like, I know because Mark.
Me?
Yes, you.
Oh.
Is a bit more like you, Rob. He's a bit more methodical, a bit more time, and everything's got its moment. And I know when we went to help Mark take some gear out of a hotel.
We had to do it in alphabetical order.
And obviously Mark asked us to go and help, not a problem. But it was Mark, me, and other Mark.
Right.
And
you were too busy, Rob.
We couldn't afford your hourly rate.
You were planning on when you were going to go, if you were going to go, how you would get there.
Absolutely.
And I must admit, I'll be honest and say, I don't mean this horrible or whatever, but I almost had anxiety traveling to that hotel because I thought, I don't know how I'm going to be able to manage being in the middle of these two because...
Yeah. I were chilled.
Because they both... You was actually chilled. However, it was one of the things in my head that I was a bit like, I know Mark's going to want to kind of go... Right, we do this first, and then this, and then this, and then this. And I know Mark's...
Tasmanian devil,
other Mark is going to be like, "Well, just put a sledgehammer through it." It gave me a little bit of anxiety going out. The last thing we need is this turn into an argument or whatever. It didn't, and it was absolutely fine.
Yeah. Nothing went wrong, did it? So we had a drink in the car.
Oh, the coffee can.
Yeah.
The So I got, we went nipped out for a drink at a petrol station. We got, I got, you know, the cold brew coffee cans or whatever. And I just said to, I passed one to Mark, and I don't
I've never tried one.
I don't think he'd ever had one before.
No.
And I said to him, just get a little shake, you know, just, to, you know, this or other. So I didn't realise, like, what he'd done, but he must have, like, shook it like you would do a bottle.
I was shaking it before he'd finished talking.
Yeah.
And you're shaking it like it were a milkshake.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, no thoughts about anything, cracked it open. Now, don't get me wrong, they're not fizzy, but when you shake something that vigorously and then open it in the car,
we were
all just wearing...
I mean, your car still smells like Costa, doesn't
it? We were all still... We were all
literally emptied the contents all inside his
absolutely.
Car. Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So where were you?
No, that's what I was saying. The biggest issue is when two different approaches are trying to do the same thing together. And it's okay if one of them realises and takes that step back and lets the other one do it. You know, but I think you'd struggle with that, Rob.
Yeah,
I'm just being honest. Like, if you and Mark, other Mark, was doing a job together, I'd just sit with some popcorn.
Video in it. I'll never forget when, and it was one that I'd actually planned this, and I was changing a radiator in the bathroom, taking a traditional radiator and putting a towel radiator in.
Right.
So I measured it all up like you would do, Rob.
Yeah.
You know, make sure all the pipe work and everything were okay. Oh, a little bit of an adjustment to do. So, took the floorboards up, got it all right underneath the floorboards, got it on, plumbed it all in, bled it, as you do, get all the air out of it.
Yeah.
Working, lovely. But cracking job this, putting it all back together, putting the floorboards back in, fired a screw straight through water pipe.
Oh my gosh.
Water spraying all over the bathroom. I was like, whoa!
Just as you finished.
Just as I finished. Honestly, we were all done and I was like, I was really impressed. Literally, last piece to put in. Just put a screw straight through pipe.
Schoolboy error. Yeah.
So speaking of DIY stuff, and Mark, you were mentioning that you were doing your garage.
I believe
it was your New Year's resolution.
What,
2019.
Yes, so, I've got a full year to get done by.
So we're now in May.
Yes.
How's it going?
Well, first of all, I've got until 31st of December of this year to complete all my tasks. Is that right? I've got a full year.
Yeah,
I don't need to do it. I don't need to do it in like first month. It's fine. Obviously, I've not done it all by myself. My nephew. Is it my nephew? Oh, my cousin. No, it's my nephew. I always get confused with family stuff. He's my nephew, isn't he? He's my brother's son.
Yes, that's your nephew.
Yeah. So that's my nephew, yeah. And so is he a cousin to me?
You're his uncle.
This is what I'm saying. I get so confused by it. So anyway, he's helped me because I ain't got the tools, as in, you know, I ain't got mics, saws and stuff like that to cut wood up.
You haven't got mics. You don't need a mic.
A mitre saw. Mitre saw.
That's it. The one.
Is that what? Didn't I say that?
No.
You have some need to talk.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, so he's got all that sort of stuff. So he's helped me all with all that. I've sort of project managed it, and it's pretty much done. There's a few little jobs to do, but it's pretty much done.
And how much of it have you done?
Probably 99% of it.
Really?
I haven't done.
Oh.
I haven't done most of it. I've sort of just said, look, I want a shelf there. I want this here. I want that here. But he's done great. He's done a really good job.
Are you any good at DIY? Are any of you any good at DIY?
Well, I'm okay. I'm sort of general. I can do a bit of electrical work. I can do a bit of plumbing. I can do a bit of I can do a bit of everything, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you do a bit of electrical?
A little bit, yeah.
What do you class as electrical?
Well, you've asked me this before. Change your plug.
I mean, it's not really electrical, is it?
I can do a little bit of electrical. A little bit. I'm of an age where you can do bits for everything. But no, I'm not a master of anything, you know.
No. Okay. So, would you class yourself as been any good at DIY?
No. No. And I think, do you know what? I think I do myself a discredit sometimes because my first thought when it comes to doing anything is I sit there and I think, I can't do it. So therefore, I just get somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
You know, whether that's friends, you know, or family or whatever. My first port of call is, I can't do it. So I'll just ask somebody else to do it. It's not driven from laziness. It's not driven from laziness. It's driven from the fact of I've truly believe or convinced myself that I can't do it.
Is it a fear?
I don't think it's a fear. I think it's a case of the what. I just want the job done.
Yeah.
I just want the job done. I'm not interested so much in learning. So, you know, like how my you guys might sit there and say, yeah, but if you do it and you do it wrong, at least you've learned something.
Yeah.
I'm not really interested. But then again, I suppose the counter argument to that is, but then you'll never learn.
Yeah.
So I have tried a bit more over the past maybe 3 or 4 years. I got myself some tools because I didn't own any tools up until the age of what, 37, 38 years old. I owned no tools.
No.
Not even a screwdriver.
Nothing. If I need a screwdriver, it's a knife.
But if you had no need for them in the past, then why would you? You know.
Yeah, I know, but everybody needs a screwdriver, don't they?
Well, I
he
just,
didn't.
I just get somebody else, and they brought the tools. I made myself think. Right, do you know what? I'm going to get some basic tools in. Some, you know, screwdrivers, hammers, spirit level. You know, stuff like that. And I must admit, when I got them, and then something small needed doing.
You didn't know what to do with him.
No, I thought to myself, I thought, do you know what? I've got the tools now. At least try. Mm-hmm. At least try. And actually, on pretty much every occasion that I have tried and done something myself,
yeah.
I've done it. Now, we're talking small jobs. We're talking things like replacing door handles on doors. Mm. You know, we're talking putting shelves up. Floating shelves, in all fairness, but putting shelves up. You know, bottom of our stairs, I've put like a coat rack up that's got a shelf on top, and you know, and stuff like that. I've put the kids shelving up in the bedrooms. I've, you know, and these things. But I know that there's probably you guys are sat there now almost laughing at me, and there might be people listening going, that's not DIY, is it?
I'm not.
But the fact that once upon a time, if I needed a shelf putting up, I'd ring my dad or whoever and go, can you come and put me the shelf up?
Yeah,
that's what I'd do. So the fact that I've put a shelf up and it's still up. You know, yeah. It's holding some of Daisy's Lego and stuff, and you know, and it's there and it's done. But for me, it's lack of patience.
Yeah.
So I'll always remember when I bought a bookshelf, and it was just a flat pack bookshelf.
Yeah.
And I took it home and I took it upstairs, and my other half at the time said, do you want me to do that? I'm like, no, I can do it. Like, are you sure? I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it. And I literally took it all out, laid it all out, thought, right, take your time, read the instructions, it's just flat packed, it can't be that difficult. Put it all together, and I took my time with it and thought, do you know what? And I stood it up and I thought, I've done it. And again, you might think, oh, it's just a bookshelf cut. Absolutely, but I've done it. And then I went to put the shelf in the bookshelf, if you like. I went to put it on and realised that the little notches that the shelf needed to sit on was facing on the outside and not on the inside. So the shelf, obviously, it would have meant that what I needed to do was then take it pretty much all apart to turn them side things round. So I smashed it up.
Money well spent.
I smashed it up because that were for me that's just what happens. I get to a point, I was right proud of myself, thought I'd done something good or whatever, and then it's almost as though someone out there in the universe or whatever is just sticking the finger up at me.
It was you. Nobody else. It was you that did it.
The thing is, I identify with that so much when you've done something and it's annoyed you so much, and in the heat of the moment you do something, even if it's not completely obliterate the main thing that you needed, but you just do something a little bit heavy-handed with a part of it or any part, and you break it, or you do something, and you, for that moment in time, then that becomes the bit that's annoying you, and then you're launching that around, and it becomes the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an awful situation.
I mean, talking about DIY and tools. I mean, I was being queued to get some wood for, obviously, to do this garage project, and we were queuing up to get some bits of wood cut, because you can get bits of wood cut, can't you, at B&Q and stuff. And as we were waiting, like, there were, you know, they have offers, like, bits in supermarkets where they have things on aisle and stuff like. Anyway, we were sort of like, and there was these, you know, box of saws, and they were like, must have been about, I don't know, 6-7 boxes of saws, and saws, I mean, not electric saws, and saws. Mm. And in each box, there must have been, I don't know, 20 saws. So, there were 100 saws. And I'm like, okay, I know it's a B&Q store.
Tallying saws up?
Well, I were when I was stood there.
Are you doing, like, stock takes and that?
Well,
B&Q?
This is my point, Mark. I'm going, why have you got all these saws here? Now, when you think about it, you're like, the company that makes these saws, like Dave who makes these saws, will be going in Monday and going, what am I doing today, boss? You're making some more saws. Don't make any more saws. B&Q's got hundreds of them, but they'll be churning. This factory will be churning loads of saws.
Well, I'm guessing that if they're still making them, it's because there's a need for them.
Yeah,
I know, but it baffles me why. Like, and
all
Dave,
these saws,
like,
and he's looking for a shave.
And
up.
next day on Tuesday, right, boss, what am I doing? What am I doing today? Make more saws? No, B&Q's got hundreds of them. They stacked up. It just baffles me.
I don't own a saw. That's a tool I need to go and buy one.
More yes. saws are they've got no there's hundreds of, I mean when I was stood there nobody picked up a saw
in that 10 minutes you were there.
No, I was there probably about 40 minutes stood around getting some wood. Nobody bought a saw. but Dave who makes them, he'll be churning hundreds around on Monday. Stop, go home mate, don't forget it.
Going back on what you were saying,
baffles
Kurt,
me
something that I've kind of turned my way around thinking recently is, if you don't enjoy something, then why bother? You know, they talk about the currency of time, don't they?
Yeah.
And now you can earn, there's loads of ways of earning money, but there's no way of earning more time.
Time
is what you've got, right? So if you don't enjoy doing something, be it DIY, then why? Do it? And this thought, for me, the amount of times I've done things and thought, no, I'm going to do it because it saved me money. I'm saving money by doing it myself.
Yeah.
And also, the bit that I do think is very true, if you do it yourself, you'll do it right. Given that you've got some form of...
I like the thinking behind that.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Yeah, the theory's good.
Given that you've got some of the skill sets to be able to do it, if you put the time in and the patience and just take your time, you'll probably likely do a better job in some instances, not all instances, just because it's your house, it's your, you know, and you're proud of what you're doing, so therefore you're going to do it to a bit more detail. That's certainly how I work. However, I've turned down overtime at work in the past to do a DIY job. Yeah, sorry, I can't do that overtime shift because I'm painting the house or whatever it is. But really, logically, if I think how much I'm getting paid to do that overtime shift versus what it costs to pay the decorator, albeit the decorator's not cheap or anything, but you're on typically a bit more money when you're on overtime, it would have made way more sense that I just paid the decorator to come in and do what he does best.
Me go
to work and do what I do best, and still have come out with more money.
Yeah.
But you once got the sense of achievement of doing something in your house. Is that where you're going with this story? Maybe?
Not really. No, it was more to do with the fact that you don't always just assume that it is the best
option to
do. I mean, you're right financially. Yeah, absolutely. I get it. But you ain't got the sense of, well, I've done that. I mean, I rented property. I did everything in that property. I painted it all. Changing shower thing, bath panel, there were an all-in wall. I even did that. I watched YouTube.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that big, for the benefit of the tape, that's quite like the size of a
baby's head.
Baby's head. And there were a massive hole in it, and I sort of did it. I watched a YouTube video and I did it. So the sense of doing it were immense.
Yeah, I must
compared
admit,
to getting somebody in.
There definitely is a sense of achievement when you do something yourself, especially when you feel as though it's not something that you're an expert at, or you really know what you're doing. And I think that's it for me.
It all has to be about the achievement for me, because it's never cheaper.
Yeah.
No, buying
brushes every 2 days.
A fortune. Because I don't look after my tools, I don't look after the stuff I'm working with. I mean, you were talking about flat pack furniture. We went to a well-known Swedish flat pack
manufacturer.
You won't call it heaven or hell, but yeah, you can get lost in it very easily. And building some drawers for Littlen. I'd nailed it. Absolutely nailed it, these drawers. Got it all perfect. And then, you know, you get that like flimsy, like thin wood thing on the back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd got the drawers the other way around. So they're all pinholes in the front. They're like nicely finished drawers with all these old, and we're like, what's the point? And then we got another one, built it all nice and everything, and then I leant on it and the top cross member snapped. And it's just like, you know.
I think the thing is for me is when you talk about the sense of achievement, for me, it's not necessarily the sense of achievement of it being done. It is more for me now the fact that I haven't had to call somebody else to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's not really... I'm lucky enough that I have got friends and family around me that are quite handy, don't mind DIY, and obviously help out. So it's very rare that I have to pay someone to actually do something. People will help me out, and I'm very appreciative of that. But what I have started to do more, or what I've tried to start to do more, is when somebody is helping me do something or whatever, is to try and learn, to try and watch and actually learn. Whereas beforehand, I'd be like, yeah, I'll make the brews, you know, you crack on and just tell me when it's done.
Yeah.
Whereas now I try and watch and I try and learn. My dad and Mark, in all fairness, helped me put a new radiator into the kitchen a few months ago. And under normal circumstances, I'd have gone, well, I'm not a plumber. I can't deal with stuff like that. Hence why I got my dad out and stuff. But this time I actually watched and I actually learned. And we even made mistakes while we were there and fixed. And to a point now where I genuinely believe, sat here, and I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it, that if I needed to put another radiator in the house, I reckon I could do it.
Yes.
I reckon I could do it.
Is that your plan? You're changing all your radiators in your house to like chrome radiators or something?
I said, I think I could do it.
Okay. Right. What he means is he's not letting me anywhere near it.
Well, maybe that's a good move.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the thing for me. It's more to do with that sense of actually achieving something now without having to call. I still will always call somebody if I don't have the tools to do the job.
Yeah.
Because I don't enjoy DIY enough to buy specific tools for things. So if I don't have a drill bit long enough or a drill that's good enough or whatever it is, and somebody else that I know has got it, then I'll get them to come and help me, come and do it, if you like, because I'm not buying that drill or that drill bit just for that one job, for it then stay in cupboard for a thing. But
There's definitely a lot to be said for knowing your abilities and working by your abilities and not attempting to do stuff that is out of your ability, shall we say. And I have got a story, but it's not DIY, it was more work related.
Right. I'll share it with us. What is it?
So going back when I was first learning to be an electrician. So I can't really say I was an apprentice because I was 26, 27. So I was a bit older, and I was working in Dartford on a big building. And it was like a distribution place. And we were working in the office block section. And we were installing the fire alarm system. But the guy I was working with, who I worked for at the time, another job came in and he said, Rob, I'm going to have to nip to this other job. You're going to have to... You stay here and keep doing this, and I'll go off there. Now, because I was 27, people could quite easily look at me and assume that I wasn't an apprentice, that I was a fully qualified electrician.
How long had you been an electrician at this point?
A week.
8 months.
Right.
I've been going to college once a week, so I really did know minimal, and only really at this point worked on fire alarm systems. And so he said, I'm going to have to go. And I'm like, okay, so just carry on doing what you're doing.
What were you doing, or is this, you're going
to
tell us?
Literally just installing boxes on the ceilings to put
boxes.
The smoke detectors. There's no point in telling you what they are because you wouldn't know. So anyway, he'd only been gone about 4 hours, and the actual electrical site manager came up to speak to me and said, where's your mate? I said, oh, he's just had to nip out. We're back in a bit. He said, look, we've got a problem. What you're doing is not as important as what the other work is that needs doing. So we need you to jump on this other work. Can you do it? I was like, what is it? And he's like, basically, I need you to install all the first fix in this office. And first fix is, in this environment, it's commercial. It's all metal. Stuff, so tray, basket, trunking, it's all metal stuff, all hung from the ceiling basically, and then normally they'll put a suspended ceiling above it so you can't see it. In some buildings you can see it, you know, you spray it and whatever. So I was like, okay. He's like, I've got a drawing for you, so I'll give you the drawing and just crack on. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll get the drawing, I'll look at it, I might be able to figure some bits out, and then when Mark comes back, this guy was also called Mark. When he comes back, you know, it'll all be fine. Well, Mark did come back for 3 days. So,
3 days.
Oh, well, had he gone out to get a McDonald's or something?
It was
then,
a
3 days
of 3 days. He'd gone to this other job and it was a catastrophe. And he literally was ringing me saying, we'd got digs and everything. So I just went to the digs and that. But he had to deal with this. And I'd also gone in my own car because I had to go back to college on one of the days. So I always had to go back. Anyway, so I get this drawing of this containment. I've never done containment in my life. So instead of saying, I can't do this, I thought, this is a chance to prove yourself. I don't know who I was thinking I was going to prove myself to. So I went wandering around the site, watching other people doing this job in other rooms to try and get an idea of what they were doing. Ah, they're cutting the rod. I'll go and cut the rod, and then I can see them doing this. I was Googling, I was YouTubing how to do corners on containers and all sorts. Right. Well, the good thing about me is I'm a bit of a robot. Once I've got going, I don't stop. I don't have to stop for a break. I can just keep going like a Duracell battery. I'll just keep going and going and going. So, the third day, I finished this room. And I'd gone down for breakfast, and the site manager had said, "Rob, are you nearly done that room?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be done by this afternoon." Well, just before afternoon, he came up. And I was literally like just doing up the last thing. And he came in, and honestly, he looked like Robert De Niro, proud. You know, "You've done well here, son." Right, you could see him looking at me. And then you could see his face change from a "well done, son," to a "oh, shit.
What have you done?"
And he literally started stepping back further and further away from the room until he walked out of the room entirely and looked at his drawing, looked back up, looked to the right, to the other door of the office next door, and back to me, and he went, "Great job, wrong room." Three days.
So you've done the job right,
I've
but
done the
it,
job
but it
right
initially
in the
completely
room.
Wrong move.
Yeah. I don't even know, because if you look at it, it didn't even make sense that like, what I'd done, it back to front and all sorts. So they ended up getting an entire team, including me, to take down what I'd done, because it actually was all the measurements were right, but put it in the other room. Apart from some angles that's changed.
Couldn't they just switch rooms and go, right, no. Well, whatever's in this room, we're going
to
move it?
No. But yeah, and that was all by me trying to do something because I wanted to prove that I could do it, that I was capable, and I wasn't.
I'd take the positive out of that and go, well, at least I did it right, but it was it was just the wrong room.
Just the wrong room.
Because it would have been worse the other way round, as in, it's the right room, Rob, but all wrong. Yeah. So
exactly.
You've got to take a positive from that,
and they didn't chuck me offside, so...
Oh, good.
Talking about trying to prove yourself, Rob, when I first left school, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. And I just fell onto this mechanics course. It were like, if you don't know what you're going to do, train to be a mechanic. And anyway, so I started at this training centre, and then they say, right, well, they'll find a place of work that you'll then work in, and you'll train whilst you're working there. So I thought, no problem. So they put me in this this place. I won't name it. All they do is heavy goods vehicles. So it's not like traditional car mechanics. It were all big lorry, all that sort of stuff. And I remember on this one, and I was, obviously there was nothing on me. I was stick thin, you know. I'm not much bigger now, really, but I was stick thin, and I were underneath this this truck, and I don't know if you know what a sump is. So so basically, underneath the vehicle,
where oil is
it's just like a reservoir that collects the oil. And in that, there's a plug, and you can. My job was to try and undo this sump plug to drain the oil out of this.
Okay, nice and easy.
Oh, dear. Well, so I were pulling it, I were pushing, and the guy who was training me, he gave me quite a lot of stick actually at the time. And he was like, "Come on, put your back into it. What's so weird?" And you know, giving it the big one. So I thought, all right, fair enough. So I put the socket thing onto the nut underneath the truck, and I put me back because obviously the massive things. I put my back against the wheel on the inside of the wheel, put my feet against the socket. I thought, right, we're having this. Everything I got, pushed it, the socket spun. I thought, brilliant, yes, I've done it. I hadn't. I forced it the wrong way and snapped the nut off.
Oh, no.
Well, he had to get a specialist person to come in from somewhere else to drill it, to take that out, tap it, and put a new... Yeah.
Well, it is weird, though, because, like we've said about Mark, about the fact that he does everything 100 mile an hour and just goes at it, you know. But he makes out as though he can't really control it, and I get where he's coming from. I mean, I've seen it for 30-odd years. But he does have you do have the ability to control. I mean, the job that you do now... is actually you've got to be very meticulous, haven't you? And very.
I think it works in my favour that I wouldn't say scatty, but I like to have plates spinning. I need to be engaged, and so it works for me that because it is very multifaceted. But as I was training in the the area that I'm working in now, the previous place that I worked, and this is another one of those nightmare stories. we were working on this A road, right, doing the gas, and we got like you have to apply for a permit, like a license to work in the highway, right. And they only last a certain amount of time, so you might get a 3-day, 5-day, so on. We were on this final day for this permit, so we had to get it closed down on that day and then open the road back up, you know, because we've got two-way lights on because we're in one of the lanes, and so everything were finished, nice, tarmac's brilliant, and then there were a guy, a road sweeper, says, "Oh, do you want me to go over it and get some cold water on it, help it cool down so you can get your traffic management off quick?" Great idea. So he drove straight across the top of it with this road sweeper and sucked all the tarmac back.
Oh my god.
Everything that had just been laid.
Yeah.
Because it was just red hot that it had just not.
Yeah, well, it's got a great big vacuum cleaner underneath it.
Quite a big patch. I mean,
massive.
Did he not know he was sucking this tarmac, or he was just
he's in the cab driving along,
thinking he's doing a great job.
You can imagine it like him going forward quite slowly. He did it like 10, 15 mile an hour, whatever. Yeah. And it went until he sort of drove over it, and then what he revealed behind him was a trench, and I'm like. Oh, dear.
And I bet he couldn't tell him for 10 minutes because he was too busy laughing.
You know when you're like nervous laughing, you're like, this is funny. This is terrible. This is terrible. Yeah.
You see, I've never really had to deal. You know, like when you talk about obviously stuff that you guys do because you work as a trade, or you're working with tradesmen, or you know, whether it be on sites or whatever. Whereas obviously all my life, I've worked with customer service, hospitality, and customer service.
Yeah, but you must know some right stories from not necessarily what you do at work, but some stories from that industry. That must be rife with stories.
Yeah, I mean, there's stuff that when you work in hotels and hospitality and stuff, you there's not much you don't see, and there's not much you don't deal with. But all that's left me with every time it comes, it's just that customers and people are weird. The weird and the strange, and quite frankly, and I'm going to say this on tape, they're horrible.
Yeah.
People are horrible. They're horrible. Horrible, horrible people. You'll have experienced it, Mark.
Yeah, well, I do. You know,
people, they think that once you work in customer service or you work in hospitality or whatever, they feel as though they've got this God-given right to speak to you however they want.
Yeah.
You know, however they want. But yeah, I mean, I've had customers complaining to me about the cows in the field next door. cows are too loud.
Wrong sort of cows. They're too close to the window.
The cows are too loud in the field next door. You know, and they look at you as though you know, just people are just honestly. Anyone out there that's going to complain, just really think about what you're doing before you complain and who you're doing it to. But no, I mean, probably the best story I've got is a bit of a strange one that I used to deal with, obviously, people's weddings. And there were one time in a hotel, let's just say in and around the Leeds area. And the wedding went absolutely fine, no problem at all. And then the groom came up to me and said, could I let him into the honeymoon suite? He'd lost his key. So I says, not a problem at all, sir. You know, I'd been dealing with them all day. I'd been with them all day. I was their MC for their wedding and dealing with the wedding all day. And I took him up to the honeymoon suite and I let him in. And in the bedroom was the bride and the best man.
Goodness me.
Absolutely. Oh, my gosh.
So I opened the door and there they were.
Did you
let's say entertaining each other?
Did you at this point go, well, I'll leave you to it, I'll get off? So you went.
Well,
I would have done.
I didn't know what to do.
And on that note,
I didn't know what to do at first because obviously you just literally not only have you just opened the door on two people doing the deed,
entertaining.
You know it's the bride and you know it's the best man and you stood with the groom. All right. So you kind of just freeze at that point until the groom looked at me and said, thank you, and walked into the room and just closed the door behind him.
Oh.
So what? It's not what we think.
Oh.
It's,
you know, like, when I literally stood there outside the door, like, I don't understand what's just happened.
Oh, wow.
I don't understand what's just happened.
Oh,
but literally,
my goodness.
As though it just hadn't fazed him at all. He just literally looked at me and went, thank you, and walked in and just shut the door behind him.
Do you think
him.
He was joining them?
Well, that,
well,
I was,
obviously.
I was going to say, I would say
or
that
chucking,
it's...
Or chucking best man through a window.
Or was he just being calm and going, Matt, I'm going to deal with this? I mean,
no,
you
well,
don't know.
I mean,
what happens? Tell me more.
Well, I didn't have cameras in the room, believe it or not.
What happened?
Yeah,
tell me more.
Tell me more. I want to
you
know more.
Only thing I can tell you is
a little bit later on. Can we have three breakfasts?
Yeah.
Please,
well, this is the thing. Only thing I can tell you is there were no trouble, there were no hassle, and the next day they were all down having breakfast and
together.
Sort of talking about what a great day it had been and stuff like that. So, and he certainly didn't look shocked or surprised when I opened that door.
That is crazy.
Well, talking about this, I've got a couple of stories from the disco days. I mean, they're quite old, these stories, but
disco days. In the 70s,
yeah, not disco 70s, no. So I remember doing our mobile. This is a mobile gig, not that it's relevant to the story, but mobile day. So I'm talking early 90s, and I were booked to do a kid's birthday party, 13th birthday party, or something like that. And it were in a children's home like type thing. So I set up, did my thing, and it was a surprise birthday for him. And obviously, all the kids are in the room. Now, some of them were disabled, some of these kids. Fine, you know, all sort of dancing away, all different disabilities, shall we say. Anyway, because I knew it was a surprise, obviously, he didn't know what was happening. So he came into the room, and I'm on mic, you know, all this lot. And he comes in, and I said to him, whatever his name is, Billy or whatever. And I go, you know, we go, surprise. And I go, all right, Billy, what do you think, what's it like seeing all your friends? He were blind. this kid. And I didn't know he were blind.
Uh-huh.
And of course, everybody's looking. And you know, it's the classic of nobody says anything to you. Everybody just freezes. Yeah. And I'm like going, I don't know what's going on. Because I don't know. He's not like, he didn't have a dog and like a white stick. So I'm like, I don't know he's blind.
Yeah.
So that would be awkward.
Talking
about it being a bit awkward, I remember doing a wedding. Again, this might have been about 15 years ago. I did this, doing the first dance and for the bride and groom, obviously, and announcing the name. And I said something like, come on, let's have Andrew and Barbara up on dance floor. And again, I got the usual shock of horror. Like, because I'm going, what was said? I'd only mixed the bride's name up from I did a wedding the night before and I mixed her name up just a thing. To make matters worse, the bride's name that I mixed up, so her name was, I don't know, Brenda or something, yeah. And I said Barbara. That was the name of his ex-wife. and again, what's the chance? I mean, not only have I got a name wrong...
You wonder why you're not getting many bookings, Mark.
I mean, not only have I got a name wrong, it just happens to be that I've got the name randomly and of his ex. And again, I'm stood there going... What's happening? What have I said?
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
So there, you know, two embarrassing stories that's happened. You know,
I remember doing a kids' party years ago, like you said, when, you know, doing mobile stuff, and it were at a working men's club, and it was, I don't know, somebody recommended me, and can you do it? Yeah, no problem. And I didn't often do kids' parties, so I thought, you know what, Sunday afternoon, a couple of hours, no problem. And set up on stage like you're doing a working men's club, because they've all got stages in them. And said, we're going to play Past the Parcel. So, all right, no problem. So, lined up my music and whatever, and then, I don't know if it was his dad or his uncle or whatever, this kid whose party it were, come out with a carrier bag, with parcel in it, got this parcel out, kids are all passing it around, I'm stopping music, all dads are stood round in a circle laughing. I'm like, what are they all laughing at? They'd wrapped the parcel in the Sunday Sport. Everywhere. It was a Sunday Sport.
And were the kids, how old were the kids?
Kids were completely oblivious. They were like, they wanted that next layer of sweets.
Yeah, they were.
That was in there.
Yeah.
Dads were loving it.
I bet you were more embarrassed than anybody else.
Yeah. When I saw like bits strewn all over the floor, I'm like, what? Why has she got no And then it went for, I saw like the shredded red bit with, and it said Sunday Sport. I'm like, I cannot believe that they've just done that.
Before I'd gone into the electrical thing, as you know, I worked on cruise ships, and I'd been working this one particular night. We're about 2 days into cruise, and I was on my way back to the cabin. And it wasn't unusual that I'd go back quite late. I was managing a lounge. I was walking back and there was a guy sat out of his cabin. And I was like, "Evening, sir." And he was just shaking his head. And I thought, that's not good. I think I must have told you this, Kirk. And anyway, so I knelt down and I was like, "You all right, buddy?" And he was like, no. I was like, "What's the matter?" And he's like, I just can't get over a death." And I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry, but is this someone close to you?" He's like, "Yeah, it's my wife." And I was like, "Oh, I'm really sorry." And there was a bit of mumbling. I can't remember exactly how it came about. And I said, "Look, who is it you're on holiday with?" And he said, "My wife." And I was a bit like, "Right, so is he had his ex-wife and he's now on board with his new wife?" And I was like, "Oh, okay." And I can't remember exactly how I said it, but he basically alluded to the fact that it wasn't the fact that his wife had died. She had died and she was in the bedroom behind him.
Oh.
So she died in her bedroom and he was outside the bedroom consoling himself because she died. And I thought he meant it was another wife that had died. And I was like, and so when I found out, I was like, "Oh, I didn't realise. I'll get security." Whose security then can do what they did. So we went to get security. And from that point, I didn't know what had happened because that was kind of out of my hands. And off I went to my cabin. However, she got took off the next morning. He stayed on for the rest of the cruise for a week. Seriously. And none of us really knew what happened. Was there an investigation as to how she died?
How old were they? This guy
was, I reckon he was in his 50s. Right. So maybe 55. So not even that old. But I don't, and we never found out. We never found out whether, because I think it comes under maritime law. Like it becomes an investigation. But we never really learnt of an investigation. Everyone was always a bit weird. I mean, none of the passengers would have known apart from the Hence team, who were all like, "What's that guy?" And he's still on board.
I have a question for you, Rob. So how many days were you into this, roughly, do you know?
About 2 days.
2 days. And,
it was a seven-day cruise. So he had another 5 days.
So did you bump into him? We'll see him after this.
Yeah.
And were we like partying? Were we doing singing karaoke?
I must admit.
Were we doing pub quiz?
I only ever
What were you doing?
I think I only saw him a couple of times just walking around the ship, and he didn't particularly look happy. But
you'd expect that, wouldn't you?
I mean, why was he even on there? I don't know. Because still to this day, it's a bit of a mystery, but yeah.
Time at the bar, please.
Well, I've got one more workplace story. I've had quite a lot of jobs.
Is it a disaster?
And as you know, I used to work for a well-known second-hand retailer. And obviously, to get hold of your stock, you bought it off people that came in the shop. And it's quite a number of years ago, this. And it was quite a busy Saturday afternoon. And this customer came in, and they wanted to sell a Polaroid camera. So this is quite a long time ago, isn't it? Because Polaroid cameras now, I don't think you can probably get them anymore. Anyway, so want to sell this Polaroid camera? No problem. Oh, yeah, there's a couple of shots left on it. Right, great stuff. So took a test, because obviously you test it before you bought it. Took a test photo, put it under my arm. It's not developing. Rubbing it, and you think there's a queue, and I'm like, I could do hurrying up here. So I went it back, and I put it in the microwave. So I thought, this is the photo. This will help it develop quicker.
Really?
It's going to be warm, isn't it?
Is that a known fact?
So it's going to be warm in the microwave. What? So I thought, Robert, I'd tried it under my arm, and that it weren't developing it. So I put it in microwave for a minute. Anyway, I walked back into the shop, into the front, so the microwave's in the back, and then this big cloud of smoke followed me. I don't know what's in a Polaroid photo, but you can't put it in a microwave. It was just a big black cloud.
That's not a good idea.
Fire alarm going off. You know, everybody's like, this, it absolutely stunk.
So there you go, guys. There you go. Some consumer advice for you. Don't put Polaroid photos.
And some employment advice. Don't employ any of us.
And on that fine note,
absolutely, guys.
It's been a pleasure.
See you next week.
Bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.